it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Thanks to Jared Goff, who joined us earlier. Interesting Monday night game. Very entertaining. Two NFC North teams. Ben Johnson, the Bears, came out firing. They go right down the field and score in social media. Hot takes. They were flying. And Caleb Williams started 10 for 10, went 11 for his next 25. The next nine possessions produced 3 points. In the meantime, there were hot takes about J.J. McCarthy as well, as he started slow. And after about 2.5 quarters, boy, was he impressive. And everything that was good in that game, like from a NFC North perspective, also had a bad side to it, right? Because, you know, clearly we want both those teams to suck.
Yes.
I mean, in the past, it wasn't a prerequisite. We went through Lions seasons where the only chance the Lions had to do anything, they kind of needed other teams to blow it. That hasn't been them the last couple of years, and I don't suspect that's going to be them this year, though I'm a little more worried than I was going into the season, fair to say. But Scott Anderson, J.J. really settled in, was very impressive in the second half. And the Bears really started to struggle.
Yeah, I thought McCarthy was very impressive. I thought that he looked – I don't think I've ever seen him look better. I don't think he ever looked that good at Michigan. What he did in the fourth quarter, he was throwing the ball downfield with conviction. He was – there were lasers all over the place. He threw a pass that was incomplete that sailed right between the fingers of – I think it was Justin Jefferson on a deep, like 30-yard pass downfield. Should have been caught all day. Should have been caught. I was like, wow, what just happened there? Did he overthrow him? Then you see the replay. No, he just threw a laser beam. And he looked like he had complete command of the offense. And then his ability to escape the rush and take off and run. I mean, the speed was on display. His running ability was on display. We saw some of that at Michigan. But he used it the right times in this game last night. You don't overplay that hand. You do it when you have to. And that to me is a mobile quarterback. You buy the time so you can make the throws. And if you buy the time and the guys aren't open, then you take off. And that's what he did. I thought he was brilliant in the fourth quarter. I don't think I'm rewriting history there. I think everybody who watched it would say the same thing. Caleb Williams, on the other hand, looked great to start the game. He looked like a water bug out there, just jumping from, you know, little leaf to leaf and to avoid the rush. He was fantastic on that first drive. But as you point out, you go back and look at the play-by-play, it was a lot of dinking and dunking. But it was the way that he did it that I think was impressive. Beyond that first drive, very pedestrian. He started off 10-10 in the game and then finished up 11 out of 25. He was kind of pedestrian there. So was the Bears offense. You know, this offense had 61 yards on the opening drive, you know, finished up the game with 329 yards total. They weren't anything terribly impressive the rest of the way. The Bears have a long way to go before they're going to be that tough team, that tough out for the better teams in football. But I think they're going to get there quickly. I think in the end, all four teams in this division are going to be formidable teams. And I said before the season began, the Bears that you see in November are going to be a way different team than you see in September. And, you know, there's some hit and miss with both of these teams we saw last night. Obviously, Vikings go off on a high note because the way they came back and won that game and they finished strong, the Bears not so much, but both of those teams are going to be formidable.
248-539-9797. We got open lines. It's Carson Anderson. Tigers back in action. Of course, they are closing in on a division championship, which means postseason baseball around here, which will be fantastic. Mize and Flaherty start. Mize and Flaherty.
They'll start tonight and tomorrow.
Tonight, yes. And then is it Scooble?
No. Friday is going to be an opener. it looks like they haven't announced a starter yet. They're going to, Thursday will be the last game against the Yankees. Friday will be Scooble at Miami.
Gotcha. So, look, I mean, Casey Mize coming off a good start and trying to solidify this postseason rotation, which is up in the air. I still think the opener slash pitching chaos, if I had to predict right now, will play a role in the postseason.
It's going to play a major role.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to just zero in on one of these. Like, I think they're looking at three starters and then chaos and then Scooble again.
I think they're hoping
it's going to be Scooble, two other guys, chaos, or Scooble, one other guy, chaos, and then Scooble again.
I think they're really hoping they can get three guys to step up. And they know Scooble's going to be one of them. Mize looks like he's the second.
Well,
but Flaherty has got to be consistent.
We're getting close to the time of the year. You remember in the middle of the year where people were getting mad when Scooble was getting pulled? I don't understand. He only threw six innings, and he was at 88 pitches. I don't get why they took him out. Because they're rationing him for games at this time of the year, and they might not even need it yet, right? I mean, it might be something that only shows up in the postseason. The Tigers' lead for the last bye is four games,
yeah,
which is healthy. I mean, it's...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty healthy.
It's not a given. Yep. It's not a given. And the other thing that may work in their favor is that the American League East is up for grabs between Toronto, the Yankees, and Boston. They're all fighting for it right now. And Toronto has a two-game lead over Boston. It's a half-game lead over the Tigers overall. So those teams are going to battle each other, and it might be some cannibalism that helps the Tigers. But the Tigers got to do their part. They got to win games. They got to win. It'd be nice if they win the series against the Yankees. You know, put some more pressure. And then again, go out and win the series at Miami. I'm not asking for sweeps. Two out of three.
I'm not even asking to win series. I'm just asking for them to be playing their best baseball in a couple weeks, 3 weeks here, and whether they go into the postseason.
You just like them to be more defined.
I wouldn't hate that. If my goal right now is to find two more starting pitchers the rest of the way, and if they don't win series along that, this will be it. I just find two more starting pitchers. And fend off Houston.
Well, they need to figure out what their bullpen is going to be, who's reliable to pitch in there. Is Tommy Canley going to be part of that or not? You know, he got his act together for three or four outings and then, you know, had a bad outing the other day. So they still need to figure things out with the bullpen. They got to figure things out with the rotation. And meanwhile, they're hopeful that Parker Meadows is going to be the guy. Now the Meadows is back and he's healthy and he's ready to play. Is he going to hit enough where he makes a difference? And that home run he hit in his first game back was fantastic. It was his line drive, and it's what you see. When you got a guy with that kind of frame, he should be able to hit plenty of home runs, but that's not what he's there for. It's not to hit home runs. He's there to get on base and utilize his speed, and he's got to do more of that.
All right, Adam in Royal Oak writes in, the Eagles are operating like their window is closing soon. The Lions are operating like their window is just cracking open. Everyone needs to relax. Jared sounds confident. I'm confident. I think there's some truth in that. I mean, the Lions are maneuvering to shore up their young core at the expense of the massive moves that people want to see them make. I think they're going to be around for a while here. There's no guarantees, of course, but the most important thing is to have the players, and I think they're locking up the players that they have in-house that they know are very good, and most of their maneuvering is about giving them the ability to do that. I don't buy that the window is closing soon. If you think the window is closing soon, that's fine, because I do think that there is an unpredictability in the NFL. Nothing in the future is guaranteed. Injuries play a role, but... you know, those things are kind of unpredictable. At the end of the day, you know, we'll see. But I like the guy who called and said the window's closing. I don't believe that at all. But he These fans are insufferable. They literally expect us to score on every drive and shut out every team. It was just a bad game. It happens. Relax or don't watch. It's from an unnamed texter. I hate to knock Glasgow. I was a Michigan guy, but he was bad. He is a veteran at one point, and he is what he is at this point. I do have some hope about Ratledge and Mahogany. Well, that I'm kind of with you on that one. Glasgow is what he is at this point. Is he coachable? Are there things that can be improved? Was it just communication? I mean, Dan Campbell was very emphatic about that. So you'll hear what he had to say next hour here on Carson Anderson. Also another edition of Are You Going to Eat That?
Oh, good.
Yep. So all that coming up. 248-539-9797. 97 won the ticket.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.